Herzlich willkommen zum Netzpolitik-Podcast. Hier ist John Weizmann und ich habe am 8. September im Rahmen der Medienwoche der IFA Michael Carroll interviewt. Er ist Rechtsprofessor aus den USA, im Moment an der American University in Washington DC und er ist zudem Mitbegründer und immer noch Vorstandsmitglied von Creative Commons als Organisation. Als erstes habe ich Michael gefragt, was er meint, wenn er sagt Creative Commons, das sei Conversational Copyright.
Okay, so it is a model of creativity and culture that imagines dynamic interaction between creators and their fans, follow-on creators, their critics. And copyright sometimes restricts your ability to talk back to the people whose culture has somehow influenced you. So you watch a movie, and you think you want to make fun of it, you make your own movie that makes fun of it, and then you get a copyright lawsuit saying, you've copied my story, you've taken my characters, you can't do that. Creative Commons licenses enable users to talk back to the creator, either compliment them and add some material, or criticize them, or and turn something serious into something funny, always borrowing, but then giving back. So it is the license that makes that a legal process, whereas sometimes there are legal questions about borrowing from popular culture in order to adapt it to some new use.
Die zweite Frage war, ob aus seiner Sicht das, was mit der Gründung von CC bezweckt war, auch eingetreten ist.
Yes, I think, in fact, well, let me say, it has done some of what we intended. I think there are still some developments I'm hoping for, but there also have been many developments we never could have predicted. So in the very beginning, we were hoping to gather content together and then get the copyright in order to make the content freely available. And it quickly became clear that that model would not work for a number of reasons. And so we then built the tools to let other people make their own creativity available. And we had no data on who would the authors be that wanted this tool, who wants to give their stuff away or share it. So it was an experiment and an act of faith that there were such people out there who might be interested in this idea. So on the number of people who have flocked to the idea is far beyond, I think, what we anticipated initially. And the fact that it became, we knew it would become global. Of course, the internet is global and we were interested in global sharing. But the speed with which it became global surprised all of us. I mean, we were hearing from other countries within 6 months of the licenses being released. It's been fascinating, and so much creativity comes up as a surprise when you let it loose like this. So one thing that I think we didn't anticipate was that the CC licenses help give a vocabulary for the impulses that people wanted. So people will sometimes debate, well, what do you mean by non-commercial? And you know, yes, I need to be paid for that. No, you're free to do that. And it's through the Creative Commons license that they're having that conversation, because now there's a license that says non-commercial use is free, and it gives them a reason to need to know the answer, what's non-commercial. And it channels the conversation into something that you can act on, because the license is there.
Als nächstes ging es darum, dass Michael in einigen Artikeln vom Prinzip der Copyright Neutrality spricht. Und ich habe ihn gefragt, was darunter denn zu verstehen ist.
If copyright is a policy that gives legal rights to all authors, then the principle I want to argue for is that all authors should be represented when copyright policy is being made. So if we need to change copyright law, is it in the interest of the majority of authors who get copyright to add more enforcement provisions or to add more monitoring of internet service providers and the like? Because we only hear from the professional creators and the representatives of the professional creators as if they represent the entire realm of creativity within that medium, film, books, music. And yet we see on the internet so much creativity is going on outside of their control. And yet in the public policy debates, they're not represented. And I should say, this is I speak for myself and not for Creative Commons when I make that point. We need some more lobbies, frankly. We need someone to stand up and represent the amateur creators and represent the people who are building businesses around open content and rely on open content. I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years we start to see these organizations become more effective. I mean, the Electronic Frontier Foundation has been active in this area, but I think there's plenty of room for more kind of authors associations based on the open content authors.
Die nächste Frage bezog sich auf die sogenannte Rights Expression Language. Das ist eine von CC entwickelte, auf RDF basierende Metadatensprache, mit der man die Lizenzbedingungen für ein bestimmtes Werk im Internet maschinenlesbar dem Werk mitgeben kann. Und ich habe Michael gefragt, ob dadurch vielleicht auch für den Nicht-Juristen, also für den ganz normalen Nutzer des Internets, in Zukunft vielleicht die Rechteklärung, was Werke im Internet angeht, erleichtert werden könnte.
I think that other copyright licensors will come to see why having machines be able to interpret the terms of the license is critical. And one example for people who want to know what I'm talking about is if you go to the Flickr website and put in Flickr/Creative Commons, they will display to you the pictures on the basis of the different Creative Commons licenses that have been chosen. Why is that important? It's what I think I call use relevance. When you search the internet, normally you're searching on the basis of topical relevance. Is this information relevant to the topic of my keyword, right? But we sometimes search for information because we want to use it, not just read it or watch it. And in that case, we need to know what are the terms of use associated with the information you're showing me? What's the use relevance? And if the licensing terms can be searched, then the search engine can find only that material which is relevant to your usage purposes. And the Creative Commons license gives you that information and allows the search engine, like the Flickr search engine, to sort the data or the content based on the terms of use. Imagine you're a low-budget filmmaker, you're looking for music for a sequence, and you can only pay 1,000 euros, right, for the music. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you could put that into your search term? I want music that has these qualities and is available for 1,000 euros or less, right? That would be being able to search the terms of the license.
Ich habe dann weiter gefragt in Richtung Verlässlichkeit dieser maschinenlesbaren Lizenzbedingungen. Denn wenn ich mich als Nutzer nicht darauf verlassen kann, dass das, was mir eine Suchmaschine als Rechte, die ich habe, anzeigt, dann muss ich ja doch wieder mit dem Urheber in direkte Einzelverhandlungen eintreten und das soll ja mit Standardlizenzen gerade vermieden werden. Darum habe ich Michael gefragt, ob man für diese ganze Geschichte nicht doch ein Register bräuchte, ein internetweites Rechtsregister, damit man die Rechtsinformationen auch absichern kann.
Potentially, I think there's a lot of value could be added to the net if we could get an open registry that any creator could sign up and be verified in who they are and that these are the terms of use associated with the work. There is a danger that people will lie, and this is why some of the major search engines allow you to search for Creative Commons licensed work, but they don't do the full-scale search, which would rely on them trusting the source. What they do is they'll search for the links to the license and give you data that links to the license, but they won't represent, like the Flickr search engine, this picture is under this license right now. Perhaps that will change, but it does require a level of trust that not all the search engines are willing to use. On the whole basis, I think there's some experiments going on.
Dann ging es um einen Vorschlag, den Michael gemacht hatte, nämlich dass beim Copyright Office der USA ein sogenanntes Fair Use Board eingerichtet werden sollte. Und ich habe ihn gefragt, was denn mit dem Fair Use, also dem Prinzip Fair Use, im Moment nicht in Ordnung sei, dass man so ein Fair Use Board unbedingt braucht.
Sometimes nothing is wrong in some cases, but in many cases it is often difficult to determine what counts as a fair use. What's beautiful about fair use from my perspective is the flexibility. It is determined by a balancing of different factors, but that makes it hard for you to predict how a court would determine whether something's a fair use. So the proposal is, if someone wants to make a use, they could petition for an advisory opinion about whether their use would be fair or not. It is the certainty that that process would give that it, I think is missing in some fair use cases.
Ich habe dann weiter gefragt, warum das Ganze denn so unsicher sei, denn es gibt ja Gerichtsentscheidungen zu bestimmten Fair-Use-Cases, also zu bestimmten Konstellationen, in denen eine Nutzung noch dem Fair-Use zugerechnet wird und damit erlaubt ist. Und warum denn, wenn die Fakten dieselben sind wie in diesen Fällen, die bereits entschieden wurden, dann könnte man sich doch darauf verlassen, dass das ein Fair-Use ist, was man macht. Und wenn das nicht so sei, warum denn nicht?
One of the factors in the balancing is, how would your use affect the copyright owner's market? And that if the market changes, then the fair use balance can change. And so it might have been fair 10 years ago, but now there's a new market for licenses and maybe it's no longer fair.
Dann wollte ich von Michael wissen, ob eine Kulturflatrate, wenn sie denn irgendwann mal kommen sollte, Creative Commons als Organisation und auch Creative Commons Lizenzierung im Netz nicht ein Stück weit überflüssig machen würde, oder ob immer noch ein Bereich übrig bleibt, für den Creative Commons Lizenzen wichtig und geeignet sind.
I think it's the second one. I think a flat rate arrangement would be very interesting, because it would open up a lot of content to more free reuse. It of course depends on what the flat rate is paying for. Is it only paying for download, or is it paying for the freedom to remix as well? But even assuming you had a flat rate that included remix and republication abilities, I do imagine that there would be some creators who would still want the freedom to opt out of that system and give away the even more freedom. But I think the flat rate would take some of the pressure off that has led to the success of CC so far.
Letzte Frage des Interviews. In welche Richtung wird sich Creative Commons in den nächsten 1 bis 2 Jahren entwickeln?
I would say there are three focuses, or three initiatives that we're focused on. So we remain focused on trying to make the licenses available for broad cultural use, cultural works. And there the focus remains on trying to have discussions with platform providers, device makers, anyone who is supplying the inputs to the creative process, to make the licenses an option. You know, when you take a picture or make a video, wouldn't it be great if you could just push a button on the camera and say, this is a CC license video, and then upload it to YouTube under those terms? So that's one of the things we have not achieved yet that I think we would like to. And we have these conversations every week with different parties. But we've also realized that in the education and the science domains are two areas where creative people often want to share their works. Sometimes it's because copyright attaches to a database structure where the data is all freely shared, or sometimes it's educational use and people want to share for that. So we have CC Learn and Science Commons as divisions that are focused on building the legal tools or promoting the legal tools for sharing in those areas.